All right, well, this morning we're going to talk about Acts. We started the book of Acts in January. And believe it or not, we're coming to the beginning of the end of our study. This is Paul's journey to Rome. I have this morning and two more messages in the book of Acts, and then we're done with our study. So the end of July, beginning of August, we'll be finished with our series in Acts. And of course, Acts is the story of the first Christians. The beginning of Christianity in the city of Jerusalem after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the rapid spread of Christianity throughout the ancient world. And we've been focusing a lot on this guy by the name of Paul, Paul the Apostle. Remember, he was the number one persecutor of the church. And Jesus radically saved Paul, and he became the number one missionary of early Christianity. And we've been studying Paul's missionary journeys, Paul traveling around the ancient world, preaching the gospel. The people are being saved and healed, and lives are being changed. And Acts 21 is the beginning of the end of the book of Acts. Acts 21 is the turning point. The title of my message, Paul's Journey to Rome, I have a map here. In Acts chapter 21, Paul is arrested in the city of Jerusalem. And from then on out, the rest of the story of the book of Acts, from Acts 21 to 28, Paul is a prisoner for Jesus Christ. Paul is in chains for the gospel, literally on trial, Christianity on trial. And so this morning, we're going to talk about Acts 21 to 23. Oh, it's kind of bad, right there where the drums are. Jerusalem is, Paul is arrested in Jerusalem. Acts 21 to 23 take place in Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that today. And then next week, we're going to look at Paul. He spends a couple of years, again, as a prisoner in Caesarea. And then the final two chapters of Acts chronicle Paul's journey in Acts 27 and 28. They chronicle Paul's journey as a prisoner to Rome. And Acts concludes with Paul in Rome. You know, this week I was thinking to myself, God, you inspired Luke to write the book of Acts. Why is over 25%, over one quarter of this book devoted to this section, this short period of Paul's life where he's a prisoner? Why so much attention on this period of Paul's life? And I think there's a few answers. Number one, remember the purpose of the book of Acts. If there's one verse to memorize in Acts, it's Acts 1:8. Anybody got it? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the purpose of Acts is to show how the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, spreads throughout the world. And so Acts begins in Jerusalem and it ends in Rome. And that's symbolic. You know, Rome was the center of the ancient world, the capital of the Roman Empire. The gospel reaching Rome is symbolic of the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Another purpose of this section is what I would call Christianity on trial. Christianity on trial. Paul is a prisoner for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he stands before kings and governors, the most powerful men in the ancient world. And he's on trial for his faith. And so in this section of the book of Acts, Paul is going to give a defense of Christianity. What is Christianity anyways? And we're going to learn that Christianity is not the same as Judaism. I think that's obvious to us. But back then, Christianity started as just a sect of Judaism. And Paul is going to say that Christianity is neither Judaism, nor is it anti-Jewish. We're not anti-Israel. We believe that Christianity, Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of what God started with the nation of Israel. And that also, Paul presents Christianity as a non-violent religion. We're not a bunch of anarchists seeking to take over the government. We are peaceful, law-abiding citizens, followers of Jesus Christ. So in this section, we learn about what Christianity is. Another purpose of this section is that God fulfills his calling to Paul's life. Remember in Acts chapter 9, when God called Paul, he said, "You shall carry my name. You shall proclaim my gospel before kings and rulers." And so that's exactly what God does in Paul's life. He bears testimony of Jesus Christ in front of the most powerful men in the world. But I think the main purpose of this section of the book of Acts is that Paul is presented to us as an example. Luke, the author of Acts, presents Paul the Apostle as an example, a model for you and me. He's the model Christian for us to follow after. And I think in many ways, Paul is an example, but principally two ways. Number one, suffering. Paul suffers for the gospel. Obviously, he's a prisoner. He's under arrest. He's in chains for the gospel. And so Paul is a model for us because, let's face it, life's hard, right? We go through difficulties, through trials. We suffer. We go through a lot of tragedies and trials in this life. And Paul is an example for us to follow of patience and endurance amidst hardship and difficulty. But I think one of the main ways in which Paul is an example, a model for us, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, is in his personal evangelism. We've talked about Paul, and he's radical, right? He's passionate about the gospel. He's all about Jesus. And so Paul is an example to us in this section of someone who is sharing his faith, every opportunity, bold to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's an example for us to follow. Are we bold witnesses for Jesus? Well, as it says this morning, I want to focus on Acts 21 through 23 and give you a summary of Acts 21 to 23. And I want to focus actually on Paul's message in Acts chapter 22. Because in Acts 22, Paul gives an address in Jerusalem. And Paul shares his testimony. He shares his story. And so that's why the title of my message this morning is My Testimony. As I said, Paul is an example. He's a model for us to follow. And today, we're going to read Paul's testimony. And we're going to use it as a model, as an example of our testimony. But real quick, just to give you a background for chapter 22, again, Paul is in Jerusalem. And he meets with the church leadership in Jerusalem, and they ask him to take a few Jewish men into the temple area for a sacrifice, for a vow. And Paul says, all right, no problem. So Paul takes these Jewish men into the temple for a sacrifice. And what happens is that some other Jews spot Paul, and they assume that he was taking Gentiles into the temple. Now, here's a diagram of the second temple, the temple of Herod, in Jerusalem in the days of Jesus and the apostles. And you can see this very large area here, the Temple Mount, the very large courtyard is called the Gentiles courtyard. And that's because everyone was allowed in this main area. But then you can see this smaller enclosed walled off area, and those are called the inner courts. That's the actual temple and the temple courts. And only Jewish people, only Jews were allowed in this area. In fact, right outside of the gate, there was an inscription in Greek which warned the Gentiles not to enter into the temple area. And we know this because we have this temple inscription today. You can go to Istanbul and see this stone for yourself. You can go to Jerusalem, see another original sample. Here's the English translation. It says, foreigners must not enter inside the balustrade or into the forecourt around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. So that's pretty serious. I think they probably took it a little bit too seriously. But for the Jews, it was a capital offense, punishable by death, for you to enter in, if you're a Gentile, to enter into this inner court. And Paul gets arrested. What happens is he takes Jews, not Gentiles, into this area. But the Jews around assume that these are Gentiles. Again, falsely. They falsely accuse Paul. And so they get upset, because for them it was a capital crime. They drag Paul out and they begin to beat him. They just begin, a violent mob, just beating Paul. So Paul has minutes to live. And you can see in this picture, I've circled this fortress. There was a Roman fortress directly adjacent, northwest of the Temple Mount, where hundreds, perhaps even over 1,000 of Roman troops were stationed. And you could see the citadels on this fortress. And so they immediately see this riot beginning in the temple courts, and they go down and they stop it. In chapter 21, it says in verse 30 or 31, and as they were seeking to kill Paul, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. And he at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. So this angry mob is beating Paul, and they're about to kill him. And the Roman soldiers rush in, and they stop the riot. They stop the mob. Thank God, saving Paul's life. And then Paul turns around, and he does something radical. You know, we've been studying the life of Paul. He was just a radical guy. Paul says to the tribune, to the Roman commander, "Hey, could I have permission to speak to this crowd?" Paul wants to speak to the people who were just trying to kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an angry mob just beating on me, and someone rescued me from certain death, the last thing on my mind is, hey, I want to tell them about Jesus, right? But Paul was, he was just bold, he was radical, and so he turns around and he says, I want permission to speak to this angry mob, and he does so. And that's what I want to focus on, is Paul's message beginning in chapter 22. Chapter 22 of the book of Acts. And as I said, the theme this morning is my testimony. My testimony. What is a testimony? A testimony. When we think of the word testimony, we often think in judicial terms, right? A court of law. Someone is called to the witness stand to do what? To bear testimony. To testify of what? Of things that they've seen and heard. Which relate to the case. Well, I think that's a great image for us to understand, for us as Jesus' witnesses, what it means to testify of him, to be witnesses. I mentioned Acts chapter 1, verse 8 before. As I said, if there's one verse to memorize in the book of Acts, memorize Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my... Come on, say it louder. You will be my... Witnesses. What is the job of a witness? What's the role of a witness? Think in terms of a court of law. What's the job of a witness? It's not really that hard. They just have to do one thing. What is the one thing they do?
Testify.
They testify of what they've seen and heard. And Jesus says, if you follow me, if you're a Christian, then you are my witness. So what's your job as Jesus' witness? What's your job?
No.
To testify of what? Of Jesus. And so when we talk about my testimony, this is an integral part of what it means to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you're my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And a witness has one principal task. A witness's principal task is to testify of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about a testimony, it's important. As concerns our role. And the word testimony, martyrion in the Greek, comes from the word witness, martus. So they're directly related. Now, why should I give my testimony? Why should we share our testimony with others? Why should we testify of Jesus Christ and share our Jesus story with others? Well, first of all, like I said, the first reason is because Jesus told us to. I think that's a pretty good reason. Jesus gave us a command to be his witnesses, to testify of him to others. Another reason is the example of the apostles. When we read the book of Acts, we see the example of Paul, that Paul went around boldly testifying, being a witness, sharing his Jesus story with others. And the other apostles did as well. You look in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So the apostles set the example for us to follow. From the beginning, Acts chapter 4, from the beginning in Jerusalem, they gave their testimony. They testified. They shared what they had seen and heard about Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead. So why should we share our testimony? It's because Jesus told us to. He called us his witnesses. A witness testifies. It's because Paul and the apostles did it. And you know, I think a good reason as well is that it's a good idea. Don't you think? God's smart. Amen? Can I get an amen for that? God is smart. He has good ideas. And a testimony is a great idea. Because a testimony is about your life, your story, how Jesus has worked in your life. And that's powerful. You know, you're not trying to tell somebody about the Philistines and the Jebusites and the Israelites and the whateverites 2,000, 3,000 years ago. You're not telling someone about something that happened thousands of miles away in some exotic country. When you share your testimony with someone, you're talking about your life, my life, 21st century America, our culture, our time, our society, Jesus living and real and powerful in my life. And that is powerful. That's a powerful tool when you're sharing the gospel with someone. So why should we share our testimony? Because Jesus told us to. Because the apostles did it. And because it's a good idea. It's very effective. A testimony is like a key that unlocks the door to someone's heart. You know, oftentimes when we try to tell people about Jesus, what do they say? Ah, come on, don't preach at me. Don't come at me with that Jesus stuff, right? But when you share a story, I mean, everybody loves a good story, right? Everybody's a sucker for a good story. You share your story, and that intrigues people about Jesus, how Jesus has changed your life. And that opens their heart for the message of the gospel. All right, John, I get it. I understand. I should share my testimony as a witness of Christ, follow the apostle, the example of the apostles. It's a good idea. It's a powerful tool. But how do I do it? What is a testimony anyways? Well, that's what I want to focus the rest of our time on in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And when we look at Paul's defense in front of this angry mob in Jerusalem, he shares his testimony. And we can break Paul's testimony into three parts. And so write this down. What is the basic structure of a testimony? It's very simple. There's three basic parts. And I'm going to summarize it in five letters. So three, number one to three, and five letters. Are you ready? Number one is BC. Number two is C. And number three is AD. You got that? There's BC, number one, C, number two, and AD, number three. Now, maybe you already know what I'm going to say. But BC stands for what? Before Christ. Our testimony begins with our life before we were Christians. And that's where Paul starts here. Number two is C, Christ. And that is where we describe how we became a Christian. How Jesus became real to us and we committed our lives to him and began to follow after him. And AD, number three, of course, stands for what? Our lives since Jesus came in. How our lives have changed since we became a Christian. So our testimony, basically, you could summarize it into BC, C, and AD. Our lives before Christ, our lives, how we became Christians, and how our lives have changed since we began to follow Jesus Christ. And we see this here in Acts chapter 22. Let's read it. Acts chapter 22, Paul begins in verse 3. In verse 3, Paul begins with BC, his life before Christ. Acts chapter 22, verse 3, he says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. In verse 4, I persecuted this way to the death, binding the high priest and the whole council of elders. I skipped a line. Binding and delivering to prison both men and women, verse 5, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. So we see here Paul talks, first of all, in verses 3 to 5, about his BC days, his life before he became a Christian. And Paul does two things. Number one, he talks a little bit about his life. And Paul gives some interesting details. He's speaking with Jews, religious Jews in a temple. And so he talks about, hey, I'm one of you. I'm a Jew. I was raised, educated under one of the great rabbis. But notice that Paul keeps it brief. You know, one of the worst things to do is to share your life story with someone and just give them every detail. People don't have hours to hear every detail of your life. So your testimony, keep it brief. Share a few details. The other thing that Paul does is he talks about his sin. Verse 4, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison. So Paul talks about, I was a sinner. I was persecuting the church, even to death. I was putting people in prison. And so when we talk about our testimony, our BC days, we talk a little bit about our lives. And we talk about how we were bound in sin. How sin had power over us, and we were doing bad things, wicked things. But look, Paul shifts in verse 6 to the second part of the testimony, which is C, Christ. In other words, how did Paul become a Christian? And that's the second part of our testimony. How did you become a Christian? How did you make a conscious decision to follow Jesus and begin to follow after him? Paul tells us his story in verses 6 to 11. Read with me, Acts 22, starting in verse 6. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. So Paul shares this famous, famous story of how he became a Christian. And we know Paul's testimony is very dramatic, right? He was riding on a horse on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and Jesus appeared to him, and the brilliance of his light, of his glory and power, literally knocked Paul to the ground. And Jesus appeared to Paul and spoke to Paul. So that's the second part of a testimony, is how did you become a Christian? And I don't know about you, but I've always felt intimidated by Paul's testimony. Because I'll be honest with you, I've never seen Jesus literally, physically. I've never actually heard Jesus in an audible voice. I've heard him speak in the still small voice to me many times. But I've never actually had a vision of Jesus where he literally appeared to me and spoke to me like Paul did. And I don't know about you, there might be a few of you in here who have had such an experience, but the other 99% of us, you know, I've always kind of felt a little bit bad because I guess I felt like my testimony was boring. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and just when I was a kid, at some point in my teenage years, I decided, I read my Bible, I believed in Jesus, and that's how I became a Christian. Boring, right? I don't have this New York Times best-selling testimony like Paul did. But you know what? That's wrong. I shouldn't feel that way, and you shouldn't feel that way. We shouldn't feel embarrassed about our testimonies, because God's writing a unique story with your life. Amen? Can I get an amen with that? Do you believe God's writing a unique story with your life? Do you believe that's a good story? I mean, God is the ultimate director. He's the ultimate screenplay writer. So your story is just that. It's your story, and it's unique, and it's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story, and it's a story worth sharing. Amen? You know, I remember sitting in church hearing these amazing testimonies and thinking like, well, God, I was never a crack addict. You know, I was never a pimp. I was never in the mafia. I was never on Skid Row. I was never sitting in the electric chair. I never saw the light, the tunnel, the, you know, going down the tunnel of light, and I saw Jesus, and suddenly I was back in my body, you know. I just kind of started reading the Bible and going to church, and I believed in Jesus. But you know what? You know what's interesting, what's ironic? If I were to share my testimony with you of what Jesus has done throughout my life, you know, beginning in California and leading me to Europe, I met my wife and my kids, I was doing pastoral ministry, church planting ministry there for many years, amazing things that God did, church started, coming back here to America, and then being led of all places to Salt Lake City. I'm sure some of you guys would feel intimidated by my story. And a few years ago, I was you. I was sitting in the pew thinking, man, that guy has got a great testimony. I've got testimony envy right now. I wish I had a great testimony like that guy, you know. And now you're sitting listening to me thinking, I wish I had a story like John did. But don't feel envious. Don't feel embarrassed by your testimony. Again, God is writing a unique story with your life. Amen? And your story is worth sharing. So the second part of Paul's testimony is how he became a Christian. And how did you become a Christian? Everybody has a different story. Maybe it's you just went to church and you heard a gospel message. Maybe you went to some evangelistic crusade. Maybe you just started reading the Bible. Maybe it was a friend who told you they became a Christian and they shared their testimony. They shared the gospel with you and you accepted Jesus right then and there. Every one of us has a unique story to share. It's worth sharing. The third part of a testimony is, as I said, AD. And so we share about how our lives have changed since we've become a Christian. What God has done in our lives. And this is what Paul focuses most of his attention on. And I'm just going to read part of it, verses 12 to 16. Acts chapter 22, verse 12, Paul writes, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" And so Paul shares about, the third thing he shares about is how what has happened in his life since he became a Christian, how his life has changed because of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Paul shares this well-known story. Ananias, remember God told Ananias to go and pray for Paul. Remember, the glory of the light of Jesus blinded Paul for 3 days until he was prayed for and he received his sight and he was baptized. And it's interesting because I'm not going to read it, but the end of his story is kind of interesting. Verses 17 to 21, Paul shares this unique episode from his life as a Christian where he's praying in the temple. And Jesus speaks to him and calls him to go to the Gentiles. And so when I read this, I see a couple of things as concerns our testimony. Number one, if you look at Paul's testimony here, he devotes the most attention to his life since he became a Christian. And that's the proper order. The shortest part of his testimony is before Christ. And then he talks a little bit more about how he became a Christian. And he devotes most of his time to how Jesus has changed in his life. Have you ever heard a testimony where someone was going on and on and on about everything they did before they became a Christian? Anybody ever heard that before? Sometimes I've heard testimonies where people talk about all these things that they did. And I start to wonder, you know, are they proud of that? I mean, what are they more excited about? How bad and cool or powerful and rich they were? Or are they more excited about Jesus? You know, our testimonies need to focus on Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. So the major part of our testimony is not how big and bad and bold of a sinner you were before Christ, but it's how Jesus came in and changed your life. The second thing I notice about this testimony of Paul is, you know, it's interesting if you do a study of Paul's testimonies in the book of Acts. They're a little bit different. Paul doesn't have this verbatim, word-for-word testimony that he recites in front of everyone. You know, I think it's a good exercise to take time to write your testimony out. I know the women's ministry, for a time, you guys were doing, you gals were doing testimonies, right, before at the beginning of each women's meeting. And I think that's great to take the time to write your testimony out. If you've never taken time to write out your testimony, do it. Your life before Christ, how you became a Christian, and what has changed since then, do it. But don't treat that as some verbatim document that is static and never changes. You know, the interesting thing is that we don't have a testimony, we have many testimonies. Amen? If you've been following the Lord for any amount of time, you don't just have a testimony, you have many testimonies, right? I mean, if I think about my life, I could share many different testimonies. I could talk about depression, how depression's run through my family, and I struggled with it as a teenager, and how Jesus freed me from it. I could share about missions, how God put this desire as a teenager. I didn't even know what a missionary was, but I had these desires to go overseas and share the gospel. I didn't know what to do with myself, and then I found out about a Bible college, and I went. And I could share a testimony about God's leading throughout my life. As I said, you know, California to Austria, and you know, Corinthia to Vienna to Eisenstadt, and then back to California, and then to Salt Lake. You know, amazing. God leading me. I could share a testimony of God providing for me as a bachelor, as a married man, with children, and how God has provided for me. I could share a testimony of healings and miracles that I have seen God do throughout my life as a Christian. Have you ever taken time to sit down and wonder, think about all the different testimonies you could share? And Paul was flexible in his testimony. He didn't just have, like I said, a word-for-word verbatim testimony that he recited. He adapted it to different audiences. When he spoke with Jews, he talked about this part of his life. When he talked to Gentiles, he talked about this part of his life. And it's the same with us. When we're talking with someone, we prayerfully select parts of our lives to share with them that would relate to them, that they could understand and grasp and relate to, that would be powerful testimonies to them of the power of Jesus Christ. So the application is clear. What is your testimony? What's your testimony? Do you share your testimony with others? Does you no good to have a Jesus story that you never tell others about? Do you share your testimony with others? And as we said, actually, if we think about it, we don't have a testimony. We have, potentially, every one of us has many testimonies. Have you ever taken time to think about the testimonies you could tell other people of what God has done in your life? And your assignment, your mission, if you choose to accept it, why don't you make it a goal this week to try to share your testimony with at least one person in this next week? And I would encourage you, I challenge you, make it a goal to try to share your testimony or a testimony with a person who is, as according to your knowledge, who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Would you make that a goal over the next week? Pray and ask God, God, give me an opportunity to share my Jesus story with at least one person over this next week. Well, I'd like to conclude. This morning, we've studied Paul's arrest in Jerusalem, and that is the beginning of the end of the book of Acts, where Paul is in chains as a prisoner of Jesus Christ on his way to Rome. And we said that one of God's major purposes in this section of the book of Acts is to present Paul as a model, an example for us to follow. And today we talked about Paul as a model as concerns the testimony. In Acts chapter 22, Paul shares his testimony in Jerusalem. And we used Paul's testimony in Acts 22 as an example for your testimony and mine. Just as a witness bears testimony in a court of law, so Jesus has called us, he's commanded us to be his witnesses. And as we said, the job, the duty of a witness is to do what? What's the job of a witness? To testify. And so, the testimony, our testimony is important to be Jesus' witnesses, to share our Jesus story with all that we come, with all that we can. And we said, looking at Paul's testimony, that typically, generally, a testimony consists of three parts. What are they? Number one is what? BC. Number two is C. And number three is AD. So in general, and you know, people have different testimonies because some people were Christians and they walked away from the Lord and they came back. Sometimes they walk away again and they come back. But, you know, in general, the structure of a testimony is, what was your life before you became a Christian? How did you come to know Jesus Christ and to believe in him and trust in him as your Lord and Savior? And number three, how has Jesus changed your life since? We said that we shouldn't be embarrassed about our testimony. Your testimony might not be fit for a New York Times bestseller. But still, your testimony is your life, your story. God is writing a unique story in your life, and that story is worth sharing with others. Also, we saw that Paul was flexible in his testimony. And if you think about it, we don't have just one testimony that we always say the same thing every time, but we have many testimonies. And so may God give us wisdom as we prayerfully think about when we're speaking with people, sharing with people, what can I share about how Jesus has changed in my life that would speak to this person, that would relate to this person, that would show them the power of Jesus. So what about you? What is your testimony? And do you share it with others? What testimonies do you have to share with others? And would you make it a goal this week in prayer to ask the Lord, God, give me an opportunity to share my testimony with at least one person this week? God is writing a unique story with your life, and it's a story worth sharing. So go and share your Jesus story with the world and be his witness to the ends of the earth. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, it's all about you. Our testimony is our Jesus story. We have no testimony. We have no story apart from you. We're just sharing about what you've done and how you've changed our lives. Lord, once again, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his example of sharing his testimony, his Jesus story, wherever he went. And Lord, we fall short. We fall short when we think about Paul and his example. But God, I ask, on behalf of every one of us in here, Lord, I pray you would give us power. I pray you'd give us boldness I pray you would give us opportunities, open doors, to share our testimony. Jesus, you said that we should be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. And a witness testifies. So, Lord, I pray you give us the power to share our testimony. I pray that we would take time, if you don't know your testimony in here, take time to write out your testimony, your BC days before Christ, how you came to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your life since becoming a Christian. Lord, I pray that you would give us an opportunity, even in this next week, to share our testimonies with at least one person who does not know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with an ability. And give us opportunities to share our Jesus story with others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.